Let's ask God's blessing on bringing information from the Bible to our minds. So if I can ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes, we'll ask God's blessing. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you have provided a day, a set-aside day, a holy day, a sacred day, a day in which we can gather together to lift each other up, Father, as you would have us do, to show our love for one another. And ask, Father, that you would give us insight into your word and understanding of how to better understand your mind so that we may become more like you. So we ask for this now through this Bible study in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You have an advantage over me because you can see the screen, and I can just imagine that the screen is actually being projected over here. So if it isn't, then somebody give me a signal accordingly. We're going to take a look today at witches, ghosts, and goblins in the Bible. And of course, if we take a look, what we see the characters in the world, they talk about witches, ghosts, and goblins. There's a lot of cartoons, books, caricatures, costumes, and such that appear, especially around this time of year. And if we'll see, the witches are generally presented as good. If you remember many years ago, there was a TV show called Bewitched, and then later one called Charmed, a comic book, Wendy the Good Witch, and so forth. Really, this whole idea that witches are good has been promulgated for not just recently, but for thousands of years. In the Middle Ages, we had Cinderella and the Fairy Godmother and those stories, or more recently, Casper the Ghost and so forth. And you go, wait a minute, so this is all just playful. Well, except for when it isn't. If we take a look online, and I didn't give the complete address, but there are people that advertise to find other witches or spiritual groups. And I copied this out of an online site to find covens, that's groups of witches or pagans or spiritual groups in the state of Arkansas. There is a website that people can go to find that, which was news to me, you know, when you start looking into this. And anytime you study on something like this, I want to go wash my hands afterwards because there's too much information out there. But they seek each other. When they've abandoned God, they seek the dark side. And the advertisements can be online, and they're in the yellow pages as well. If, for example, the palm readers, the best palm readers in your area are on, you can read it on yellow pages or you can go to Yelp. And these are people whose business it is to be a medium, as it were. And so it's not just something that's there and then. This is here and now. If we take a look at Leviticus 19 and verse 31, we read what the Bible has to say about mediums or necromancers, and we'll see that in the definition in a minute. It says, do not seek them out. Do not turn to mediums or necromancers. Do not seek them out. So make yourselves unclean, and so make yourselves unclean by them. I am the Lord your God, Leviticus 19:31. Well, what is necromancy? It sounds like one of those big $5 words, right? But Merriam-Webster Dictionary says, to conjure up the spirits of the dead for purposes of magically revealing the future or influencing the course of events. Well, that sounds pretty dark side stuff, right? If you're going to pull up the necromancers or go to a medium and ask for the future. And so the first question is, can we really talk to the dead? In Ecclesiastes 9:5 we read, for the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. In other words, the dead, they're asleep. They don't know anything. So someone who wants to conjure them up, they're not really talking to the dead, now are they? Because the dead know nothing. There. If we take a look at what is life, in Genesis 2:7, we read, God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living thing. He didn't have life until there was oxygen, okay? And this oxygen that we breathe gives us a temporary existence. Again, in Ecclesiastes 9:5, for the living know that they will die, the dead know nothing. We jump to verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there's no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going. So when people are dead, they're dead all over. They're not just dead in part and still alive in part. And in order then to come alive, there is a resurrection is necessary. In John 5, starting in verse 28, John 5:28, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. So they're dead or they're alive. You can't be both at the same time. So a resurrection is coming. Now, what we do know about life and death, that there's a beginning to our physical lives and there's an end to our physical lives. And if you're under 30 years old, you think you're pretty much more immortal, and it doesn't occur to you that there's an end to life because you're young and vigorous, and they've done a lot of studies on this one. But once they hit 30, all of a sudden there's something that triggers in the mind. It says, hey, wait a minute. Maybe there's an end to life. We also know the dead know nothing and that there's a resurrection to judgment is coming. Well, now we look in the Bible, so we know this sequence, that life is temporary. We're told in Leviticus 20, verse 6, to avoid mixing it up with evil spirits. In Leviticus 20, verse 6, and the person who turns to mediums and familiar spirits to prostitute himself with them, I will set my face against that person and cut him off from his people. That sounds pretty rough. If people are going to go to the dark side, to the mediums, or what they call familiar spirits, demons, as it were, and to give yourself over to them, then God doesn't want to have anything to do with us if we do that. If we look at 1 Corinthians 10, starting in verse 20, 1 Corinthians 10:20, and I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You can't partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. You can't have it both ways. You can't do the dark side with the truths of God. Well, when he's talking about the fellowship of demons, well, where do those demons come from? In Revelation 12, verses 3 and 4, another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. He's talking here about angels that were cast to earth with him. In Revelation 12, in verse 7, and war broke out. In heaven, Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought, but they didn't prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. But they didn't have bodies. They don't have physical bodies as we do. And so that is their challenge. They are spirit beings. If we look in Isaiah 14, starting in verse 12, in Isaiah 14, 12, we read a little bit more about this Lucifer, who is Satan the devil. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, that you're cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations? That's a lot of power. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farther sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, which is the grave, to the lowest depths of the pit. So this idea that Satan was going to be a bringer of light, but went to the dark side, said he could usurp God, and assumed that he would then be the God, and he was cast to earth. In 1 Samuel 15:23, we read about Saul, the first king of United Israel, was rejected from being the king. For what reason? For Samuel 15:23, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. King Saul didn't listen to God regarding the matter of King Agag. And God and Saul, if we look back in this reading, that Saul spared that which God said to destroy. And he said, destroy the livestock as well as King Agag. And he didn't do it. Thought he was being helpful and generous and kind. Well, after Samuel died, who could Saul go to for advice? So, in turn to 1 Samuel chapter 28 and verse 3. Now Samuel had died, and all Israel had lamented for him and buried him in Ramah in his own city. And Saul had put the mediums and spiritists out of the land. In theory, he had already banned them because Samuel told him to do so. Verse 7, then Saul said to his servants, because you see the Philistine army was preparing to invade Israel, Saul was worried, he didn't have advice. Verse 7, Saul said to his servants, find me a woman who's a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, in fact, there is a woman who's a medium in Endor. Any of you remember the television show Bewitched? The mother-in-law's name was Endora, okay, which is a takeoff. So the people that wrote that show were clearly had some biblical, minimal biblical literacy. But not all of the mediums or spiritists were put out of the land. They just kept a low profile. So King Saul didn't actually talk to the dead prophet here. He was wanted to consult Samuel by going to a medium and then see if he could conjure up talking to Samuel through this medium. But of course, that wasn't really Samuel, now was it? And what happened? King Saul didn't listen to God regarding the matter of King Agag or the mediums in 1 Chronicles 10:13. 1 Chronicles 10:13, we read, Saul died for his unfaithfulness, which he had committed against the Lord, because he did not keep the word of the Lord, and also because he consulted a medium for guidance. Sounds like maybe we shouldn't do that either, when that is the consequence or the result. The New King James Version of the Bible lists 82 times it talks about demons, 15 times about witches or mediums, twice about ghosts, 5 times about evil spirits. In the New Testament, it's mentioned 54 times in the New Testament about the term cast out, and it's referring to casting out sin or casting out evil spirits. Now there's a particular example, because you got to cast out the evil in order to get complete healing. There's an example that Jesus gives in Matthew 8, starting in verse 31, where he cast out demons. In Matthew 8, 31, so the demons begged him, saying, if you cast us out, permit us to go away into the herd of swine. You see, they were disembodied spirits. They didn't want to just be cast out of a person. They wanted to go into something. Okay. And verse 32, and he, meaning Jesus, said, go. And so when they, meaning the demons, had come out, they went into the herd of swine. And suddenly the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the water. So now the demons had no place because the swine all died. And so Jesus was busy casting out demons. And we read then in Mark 16, Mark 16, verses 16 and 17. In the New King James, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. You are each empowered to cast out demons. We read it right here. If you do what? If you believe, you've repented, you've baptized, received the Holy Spirit, and you are followers of God's commandments, we're each empowered to do that. King Saul didn't listen to God regarding the matter of King Agag. He wasn't repentant or a believer in that when the time was rough. He didn't just cast physically the witches and mediums out of the land. He then went to a medium. Nowadays, we have representations of evil spirits. Monkey bats with wings and all kinds of these strange gargoyles. There's Gollum from the movie Lord of the Rings. You have these, and you see a lot of these gargoyles if you've been, if you've seen the castles in Europe or the castles in Asia. And we've had an opportunity to see them both. And it's remarkable that they look the same. They're thousands of miles apart. But the castles in Japan have gargoyles that look like the gargoyles of the castles in Europe. And it makes your head want to explode and go, how could they do this 1,000 years ago? How would they know? Well, that's the spirit world giving evil representations. If we read in Exodus 20, it becomes very clear, you shall have no other gods before me. Exodus 20 and verse 3, part of the Ten Commandments. And I believe you had that message here just prior to the feast. In Deuteronomy 6:14, do not follow other gods, the gods of the people around you. Who are the gods of the people around us? They're everywhere, especially at this time of year when they're beginning Satan's holy day season, starting with Halloween. And what does it say in Psalm 16 in verse 4? Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. If this were a classroom, I'd say, how many people want to suffer more and more? Who would want to suffer more and more? And yet we read, that's as sure as gravity. It's going to happen for people who follow other gods and place them before the true God. What does the true God want from us in John 16? John 16, 33. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Peace is a desirable thing. If you wonder about that, just think of the people who don't have peace. It's not just national peace, although we've been places and recently that's pretty scary. The people have to live under the threat and the potential of war. But what about peace in our personal lives? At home, at work, at school, or wherever it happens to be, God wants us to have peace and not troubles, not tribulations. So, by this, we're told to avoid witches, ghosts, and goblins, because that doesn't lead us to peace. That leads us to the tribulations of the world. So, what I want is sent out some questions that I want us to do, and I want us to break into small groups of six people, ideally, husbands and wives not in the same group, and we're going to go over these questions. We'll take a few minutes, we'll go over them, and then we'll go over them as groups. So if you would take that opportunity, divide into groups, family members should be in different groups, that way you're free to express yourselves, and then appoint a spokesperson for that group, and then we'll go around each group.